Morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for today, the 11th day of January 2021. I'm David Ellis, and with me as the technical operator and producer is John Stout. We are with you up until 2 o'clock today. We take your calls, we take your comments, we take your assessment of what is happening around you, and we look forward to having an interesting program. We encourage mutual respect as we discuss the issues of the day. This is a very challenging time. There are many people in this country who wanted to see the back of 2020. Well, they're now seeing the face of 2021, and it is not a good looking face at all. We are in a situation where we have far more COVID cases at this stage than we did last year when we locked down. To a large extent, we recognize that Barbadians became relatively complacent about the situation. And in that complacency, at various levels, we've now had a situation where this very sneaky disease has exploited weaknesses. I saw, I think it was in The Economist, a comment to the effect that small slips have led to a large spike in COVID cases in Barbados. So let's come to the telephone lines and take the first call of the day. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition.
Hello, hi, good morning, David.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yes, sir.
Good. I'll say, how are you doing? You with me?
Yes, I am.
Good. All right, I see you want to answer that, so let me just stretch my finger. I listened a few nights ago to Minister Cummings, Lisa Cummings, and I was happy that I had the opportunity to listen to this young minister when she explained and outlined the guidelines that her ministry will be taking in respect to people that is in quarantine. And I speaking directly to visitors and the measures that she would take or the ministry would take or the government would take to compensate the hoteliers for time, overtime that the tests take to come back, not the fault of the guests' fault. And addition to that, the minister outlined those people that exceed the 14 days and that come in for just 14 or 2 weeks and did not have the chance to explore, enjoy, or interact with what they come here to experience, the ministry would, or the government would take the bold initiative to invite these people back here with a round ticket, no charge to the visitor. Now, I thought that is really outstanding. Because if I had to use my own experience, like a lot of guys that in my trade, back in the day, when we used to go to Puerto Rico, reasonable car parks, all the guys who in the collision business used to go to Trinidad or Puerto Rico. I remember me and two friends of mine went to Puerto Rico. And on that, we only had at least about 4 days to play with, you know, because we used to go in the Wednesday and come back out the Sunday. And I remember like yesterday, we was cooped up in our hotel because they had a flood. The flood lasted at least for 2 days. Business shut down. And on the third day was a national holiday. We didn't get a park to buy. No place was open. And we had to return to Barbados. I said, Lord, I wonder when next I would get back to Puerto Rico to get these parks. And I would have glad at the time if somebody at least they give me a half a ticket. So that is the experience that I bring to bear on this whole discussion. So I wholeheartedly standing firmly behind the minister and the government with this round trip ticket back to the people, the tourists or the visitors that hasn't had a chance to explore or enjoy what they come here for. I don't mind all the noise that Bishop Astley talking and all that. That is politics. But we face with a real-life situation. As long as people, most Bajans believe that as long as you're white or as long as you're a tourist, you come here with money, you pocket deep. No, man, I don't think so. I don't think these tourists, or the majority of tourists that come to Barbados got deep pockets. They're working class people like you and I, David. Well, like me, not like you, because you're going to hide. So that is my thing. And if you want me to go a little further with the fiasco that happened in the United States last Wednesday, could I touch on that?
Yes,
or
you can.
Or you want to say something to my opening remarks?
No, I have nothing to say. I think other people are going to respond to that. This is a sufficiently controversial subject that I expect other people will.
But you're controversial too, so I don't know what
you proceed.
Today's
one of those days. I said that it is a controversial issue, and because it is that kind of issue, I anticipate that there are people who are going to call who will not share your view, and in those circumstances, I will refrain from saying anything on it at this stage.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I know that when saying it, you have a date, you're going to have a big song and dance. But however, though, if I go to what happened in the United States on Wednesday, and then people calling me, asking me what I think, did you watch that? I said they watched from beginning to end. But I don't want to apologize, but I can say it this way. All right? I believe if there was one single black person among that group that stormed that building, I believe the police would have turned the guns on them. So that asks me now to feel for the police that get wounded and get beat and all that. Yes, I don't believe that the police should have died. But I also know that when I watched the extract, every single police guy had a gun on their hip. Okay? So all I'm saying, I stand on the side of Joe Biden. If it was or look, if any of those fellas that look like a Muslim or black, the guns will be turned on them. What you think?
I think there are many people who are commenting on the situation, and you would have heard even the president-elect say that his daughter or granddaughter, rather, made a similar observation. I mean, it is clear that the way that the police in the United States reacted to this mob, as some people call it, was in stark contrast to how they reacted to the Black Lives Matter protests earlier in the year. And therefore, I don't think that we are far-fetched in coming to the conclusion that you have reached. The United States is really on a knife edge at the moment. And I know there's a lot of discussion taking place about trying to impeach the president and that sort of thing. Ultimately they're working towards a goal of trying to put him in a situation where he may not be able to run again in 2024. But we have to sit and wait and see how this all pans out.
David, one final comment.
Yeah.
You remember last year, the same Michael Pence, or who named the vice president, went down to Guyana and gave the Guyanese people or the Guyanese government or the people who seem to be in charge an ultimatum?
Yes, I recall.
You understand?
It wasn't Pence, it was Pompeo. It was the Secretary of State.
Oh, the Secretary of State. And all I'm saying, and when you look back, when you track back, right? Libya, Nicaragua, Panama, and all that. The United States seem to be the police of the world. You mean they can't get their own backyard police? I know, right now, a lot of nations around the world really ain't got no law of respect right now for the United States. However, I still believe that the United States is a great nation. Don't get me tired. I believe that. But I think that a lot of doors need to be checked. That's why I got.
Well, I told you that you were going to get reaction. This person says, well, Wesley talking. He for real? Government should pay if they have to wait long for the results, but not a return ticket. So there you go. That's the start of it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Oh, good. At least you let me mourn a bit. He called me. He asked us all twice and I asked three. About his comment, I agree with Captain Amor when they hear about to bring them back. With the kind of situation we are in with our own workers, I don't subscribe to that. And Norway, if you remember too, in relation to Trump, long before the elections was held, Trump had indicated if he lost the election, what he would do. He has said that if he lost, the election would be unfair. If he wins, it's okay. I see that President Trump should have been arrested for this. He's a threat toward peace. I've always said that. And I was wondering if the military can just go in there and pull him out, because I heard some judges from the state say he's not above the law. No president is above the law. About the community spread, if anything, knows the bus crawl. I see the bus crawl is being used as a scapegoat. When you did the program on television, it did well, but there's one area where I personally was let down. And the question should have been asked, how can there be preaching social distancing, but yet you are having public transportation? I can keep on saying this. Transit operating to full capacity. You have school children on board buses. That's RAM. No bus driving. This world can monitor a bus while driving. And you have a lot of passengers too with the mask down below the nose and all kind of thing. Another time I'm against, why is only mandatory when you are in public buildings to wear masks? Why not when you're in the public domain, period? Why not that? So everything was the bus crawl. No. We let down our guard. Them, let down the guard. The two open the borders. Tourists born here walking about willy-nilly from all over the world. And now you're going to target a bus crawl? I am falling for that. Admit that you made a boo-boo and tried to correct it. I see the wearing of face masks should be mandatory. Right through. By the time you step on the public domain, you shall have one of face mask. If you are asthmatic, you already in here. That I am asthmatic. I don't like the mask, but I wear it because it's protecting me and protecting maybe other people from me too. You never know. I don't know. I can understand when stories started to be cut. The vent here still in cut salaries, but now this and they're of national importance. Nothing can get legislated. I don't know. We have to go back, and as far as the alphabetical shopping is concerned, too, we need to go back to that. That way, it will keep less people going in, have less people going into the market at any one time. You need to go back. When this thing started, they were working. They were working beautifully. But since they tried something different and it has failed, go back to what you were at before. I don't have any problem with that. And this is not a political statement I'm making, because you should know me well enough that it was the DLP. I would say the same thing too. When you're right, I can support you. When you're wrong, I am not going to do that. I'm not going to support it. The government has dropped the ball, but they can stand in a position where they can take it up and run with it. Correct the mistake that you have made. Have a good day.
Okay, thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Let's take another call.
Good morning. I want to speak on the whole question of government's response to this increase, this spike in COVID cases. I have been quiet for the most part. Occasionally, I might have referred to the government's decision not to close the border early in March and April and my disagreement with that. But I've watched, I've allowed them to handle, I've sought to abide by whatever rules the government put in place. But I think it is past time that, persons really need to sit and, you know, do careful analysis of how government is handling this COVID crisis, because we know we get a lot of people telling us how wonderful they're doing, etc. It is my view that we have been lucky in some part. I believe the government has worked with our local health professionals, and I want to give those health professionals a lot of kudos in terms of how hard they've been working. I want to give this government kudos for building the St. Lucie Isolation Center. I want to give the last government kudos for building the DeSantos lab that is being overworked right now, even before we knew about COVID. I want to recall the response of the opposition leader during Ebola, something that was not as threatening as the COVID is to our country. So how do I assess? There are two main points I want to look at. I don't have a problem with visitors who are here and who have faced financial hardship because the COVID test took long, that the government worked something out with the hoteliers to give those people an extra few days or refund them a few days, you know, for the inconvenience. I don't have a problem with that. Where I have a problem is the is how government has dealt with this COVID in return in as it relates to planning. It is clear to me that the government is out to sea as it relates to having a very informed and coherent policy into as to what the impact would be when you open your borders for the winter season to tourists coming from high-risk countries, in particular the United Kingdom. And I remember 23rd December 2020, the government said, we are not, the headline says, we are not banning flights from the UK. And the Minister of Health stated that we are following the science and we are following advice from WHO and PAHO. And they said to us, we should not restrict flights coming in from the UK at this time because what is known of the variant of this COVID virus does not suggest that we should do so. I would think common sense would suggest that while the PAHO and WHO advice might be persuasive, in the final analysis would look at what is on the ground and what your Barbados Medical Health Association persons are saying, what you are saying, what you're listening to other players as to what they feel the impact would be, and listen to the people. Now, when I listened to Minister Lisa Cummins, the Minister of Tourism, she said that the fall off was so drastic in terms of visitors, visitor arrivals. Normally, they would have 220,000 persons, I think she said, coming through a month, if I'm not mistaken. What they had instead was 18,000, less than 10%. You had probably around 8% of what your intake would normally be. Yet you keep, so what is the benefit of allowing your borders to be open, hence causing this virus to come in, with persons coming in from the UK and spiking? We used to get 3 or 4 persons a day testing positive. Suddenly we had 34, then 40-something, 200-something, and we're going up and up. And I'm saying to you, it is clear to me there's community spread, no matter what you call it. So is it worth it to have opened the borders despite persons saying we feel very concerned about it? What money did you get? What was the revenue from 18,000 persons as compared to 220,000 persons? Then you have to spend this money in now hiring Cuban doctors, now hiring Cuban technicians, now getting another medical lab, a mobile lab, spending money testing visitors free, spending money putting them up in the isolation places, et cetera. I am saying to you, and now the worst of all, a communication team. Can someone please tell me why would we at this time be spending money on a communication team when we have someone who is like a silent and invisible guest called Charles Jung, who has some position that we are not sure what he's doing, paid by the government. This is a foreign national who is, has been employed to be director of communications or whatever. Who is he? What is he doing? Why are we paying him? We have the GIS, the Government Information Service. It officers there qualified and skilled. Why are we paying them? We have a press officer, Mr. Roy Morris. What is his role? We have, I think, Ms. Pat Paris has something to do with communication or public affairs or something like that, a consultant in the Prime Minister's office. All of this, and then we are bringing back a politician to head a communication team to deal with addressing COVID and a whole host of other persons at a time when we don't have the finance, only 18,000 persons coming in as opposed to 220,000. There's, if you expected, as the Minister of Health told us, that we know there was going to be a spike once we opened the border, then you would have planned for that spike. The poor workers at the Santos lab have been stretched
right.
and overworked.
You've had a lot to say already, and I think I'll give you a fair run, and I want to say to you that a lot of what you have said, I share the concerns that have been raised here. What I've heard the government respond to a number of things which have been raised. A major one, which I thought has been left untouched, has to do with the quarantine for the visitors coming in. That remains the same as what it was before the government came to the people of Barbados. The Prime Minister spoke, I think it would have been Friday afternoon around 4:30. I think it is clear to say, safe to say, that once you had increased the number of people coming into Barbados, there was a requirement to review all of the protocols associated with it. Evidently, we dropped the ball. And I don't think that one can just look at the bus crawl and that sort of thing, because if you look at what was said by the government itself on the clusters on the West Coast, more people tested positive from those clusters than tested positive from the bus crawl. It's a bit unfortunate if you look only at one side, and I think the initial comments which were made by the Prime Minister gave that impression. Subsequent comments which she's made seem to have, you know, eased off of that a bit. But the initial comment left people with the view that the bus crawl had to take this maximum responsibility. The big issue now is, where are we? I saw a comment on social media where somebody in the hotel industry raised what I consider to be a most pertinent issue. And this has to do with the announcement which was made on the weekend by the Minister of Tourism. This person said that almost before the news conference was finished on Saturday, there was immediate reaction from tourists. She said that hotel front desk employees all across Barbados were bombarded with calls from guests demanding refunds. She went on to say that those who need to extend their stays due to not receiving their results are also now saying that they are not paying for the additional nights because the government said they would be covering the costs. What the government neglected to mention, says the writer, was how they would go about doing this. There was absolutely no consultation with the hotel sector. And she went on to say they should never have announced that without also sharing how it would be done, as now the guests are assuming that they do not have to pay, because the hotels would be the ones to recoup the funds from the government. I think the government needs to clarify that position as quickly as possible. It is true that on Saturday, the government gave a hotline for tourists to call, but hoteliers seem to have been put under undue pressure as a result of the lack of clarity which has been raised here by the person who wrote. Okay.
Anyway, all I would say as I close is that that does not surprise me. Ms. Motley, as Prime Minister, makes policy decision, it seems, on the hop. You will recall she talked about the alphabetical system, the proposal. She's thinking of reintroducing it, even though she's in talks. She has to go and have a meeting with the private sector. You know, I saw at a press conference, I don't know if that's the one you were at, when she talked about persons not coming on the bus, on the private bus system, et cetera, and to call this number. And you saw the Dr. Jerome Walcott hand in the air because he couldn't understand when she was saying Dr. Jerome will tell you numbers to call, et cetera. I am saying that tells you somebody who operates as, you know, I make the decision and then I just pass it on to the others.
Okay.
So that talk, you know, what you just said to me just reinforced that. But I would say to you that we really, there needs to be from Mr. Atherley a question being raised to government to give us an idea of the expenses, the revenue, just a breakdown as to what is happening with COVID, because we will see this being played out in the year or years ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. This person says that the Trini woman is on the spot this morning. They said that they missed the beginning of the program because they had a paper to submit this morning, but they wanted to know whether something was said about the way Dr. Walcott spoke to that reporter. This person describes it as disgusting. Absolutely, they say. The rest is smoke and mirrors, nonsense about supermarket alphabet. This government is trying to shield themselves in pity because they are now working hard. And they want to know whose fault is it that the outbreak happened. So the government is under intense pressure. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I haven't seen them under this pressure before since coming to office in 2018. As it relates to the alphabet system, I'm very glad that they scrapped it because I could understand why we introduced it last time, because you know, we had all of that, the rush, and we had the lines and people clustered together and that sort of thing. But I didn't see any real reason why we should go in that direction again. So I'm very happy. I'm among those who are happy to see that it has been shelved or put on the back burner for now. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.